What's your attitude to Christmas? Is it the highlight of your year, or is it a season simply to be endured? There are some people, aren't there, who are Christmas addicts. Maybe you know the type, maybe you're one of them. You start shopping in August, the decorations are up by mid-November at the latest, and from around that kind of time, the TV is tuned to one of those special Christmas song-only channels, blasting it out right around the house. For the Christmas addict, the festive season gives those people a stonking mandate to indulge their passions for fun and frippery. Other people are less enthusiastic, of course. They simply want to get Christmas done and move on. I think that's the last Brexit joke, by the way. Hopefully they'll get through it all with still some money in the bank. Now, for people on both flanks, the Christmas story may, of course, have very little impact. For the modern Christmas enthusiast, well, the nativity is fine, especially when it involves children. And a candlelit carol service is, well, so atmospheric, particularly when the church is looking so beautiful as ours is tonight. It's great, just as long as religion doesn't get in the way. Well, for the skeptic, well, the Christmas story rarely enters their thinking. It's in the background, rather like music in a lift or in a supermarket. They'd notice if it suddenly stopped, but it rarely gets a second thought. Well, however you feel about Christmas, maybe you are a Christmas addict and you are delighted to be here. Maybe you're here a little bit under protest, coming to keep someone else in your family happy. Whatever reason, I'm delighted you're here. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself so far. The church looks stunning, as always. We've sung some great carols. We've had some wonderful readings. And I hope that the evening so far hasn't just been a moment to pause from the work and grab a bit of peace and feel a little bit more Christmassy, whatever that is. Because to let Christmas slip by without some serious thought is not just to miss the reason for the season, but to miss the reason for life. Now, I know that is a big claim, but for the next 15 minutes or so, I want to unpack Christmas a little more, to push past the presents and the decorations and consider more deeply the gift God gave us on that very first Christmas. But let me start by asking you this question. What's on your Christmas present list this year? Recently, the London Standard ran an article listing their top 10 choices. It included a pair of chiffon-trimmed crepe de chine pyjamas for £215. A Dreamland luxury heated faux fur throw, surely a snip at just 89. And top of their list was the new Garmin smartwatch. Apparently, and I'm quoting now, it is the ideal companion for outdoor enthusiasts, with features like mapping, pace planning and heart rate monitoring. It's available with a range of straps and finishes. And if that sounds good, you'll be delighted to hear that it comes in at a penny less than £800. Now, of course, not all of our loved ones have that amount of cash available. But what if you could send your Christmas list to God? He has unlimited power and resources. After all, what would you ask of him? Now, we've been asking that question over the last few weeks, and whilst there were a number of responses that mentioned new iPhones, PS4s, the odd supercar, many of those we spoke to mentioned things that money can't buy. Safety when travelling for loved ones. More love in the world. Healing and happiness for people in their family. And the most common answer of all, the return of loved ones who had died. Some of the conversations were very moving, as you might imagine. See, the truth is that we all have many deep longings that can't be met by a shopping trip, no matter how high our credit limit. So many of our problems are way beyond our means to solve them. So many of our desires are out of our reach. We long for peace and joy and love and a life that doesn't end. Deep down, I think we long for a different world and a different life. And we know, however well-intentioned they may be, neither our new government nor our own efforts can give us what we most desire. But here's the staggeringly good news. God has already given us what we long for, and even more than we long for. It may not look like it, but wrapped up in those swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, God's Christmas gift to us in Jesus is what we have been longing for all along. Because it's in Jesus that we find the joy and the peace, the love and the life we have been seeking. And we do want joy, don't we? These days we have plenty of entertainment, bouts of laughter, fun and happiness. We live in an age which prides itself on the wide array of opportunities for pleasure. But time and time again, the laughs we get from comedy shows or watching those mishaps on YouTube, the pleasure we get from that new gadget or that new holiday, the pleasure we get from the time with family, well, that pleasure doesn't last. Wonderful moments fade with the next argument or with the change of channel or the next bit of bad news. Happiness is good, but it is fleeting. Deep down, we seek joy that lasts. But isn't that what the angels declared that Jesus had come to bring? The coming of Jesus was good news of great joy for all people. Joy, not happiness. You see, joy lasts whatever the circumstances. And this joy never runs out. Joy without end and life in all its fullness flows from Jesus and no one else. If you want lasting joy, then come to him. We want peace too, don't we? Peace in our time, peace at home, peace on our streets, peace between our political parties, peace between warring factions on foreign shores. But so many of those we spoke to wanted peace within as well. So often we feel blown around by circumstances and events, wounded by the harsh words of others, plagued by our own mistakes and fears. We can shut the doors and close the curtains. We can head out into the wilds and the wildernesses, but real peace is elusive. But Jesus came to bring us peace. Now that may surprise you. Many people put religion down as the cause of most wars. But the truth is that no movement in history has brought more peace and reconciliation than Christianity. No movement has done more to combat racism, sexism, slavery, or the rights of the weakest in society, whether aged, disabled, or the unborn, than Christianity. If you want more peace in the world, then come to Jesus. But coming to Jesus also calms the storms within. The Christian faith allows a person to see their failings and not be destroyed by them. To own up to their mistakes and not be crushed. To recognize the uncertain nature of the world and not feel afraid. If you want peace, real peace, peace without and peace within, then come to Jesus. And don't we want more love? Don't we long for a love that lasts, a love that doesn't change over time or fade with our good looks or run out with our bank balances? A love that doesn't end when someone feels that they have a better offer. Don't we all long to be loved with a love that can be relied on every moment of every day, even when we are at our worst? Some of us experienced that, at least in part. We had some friends over for dinner a couple of weeks ago, and they had been married for 60 years. Maybe you've reached that limit as well. A few years back, I was even invited to an 80th wedding anniversary party. The wife was 102, her toy boy was 99. But even love like that doesn't last forever. Love dies when we die. Sadly, though, often what passes for love these days doesn't last much longer than the wedding cake, sometimes not even past that first date. But on the first Christmas, Jesus entered our world to show us just how loved we are. Leaving the glory and perfection of heaven, Jesus stepped down into our mess and into our darkness. He experienced the pain and loss and hatred and rejection and even death on the cross. And he did it all because he loved us so much. Jesus met us at our worst, and he loved us still. Jesus is God's gift of love to us, and through him, God offers us that same love, a love that can be relied on never to fade or end, a love that sees us as we truly are and loves us anyway, a love that keeps on loving through death and into eternity. Only in Jesus can we find the love we really long for. But the thing that came out top in our poll was life. We want a life that doesn't end, where we're not separated from those we love. We want eternal life, where the peace and the love and the joy we long for can be ours forever. But that isn't the world we live in right now, is it? That cute dragon from the John Lewis advert may have won your heart, may have caused you to buy things that you didn't think you needed. But the truth is that there is a darker dragon that haunts not just our Christmases, but every day of our lives, from the cradle to the grave. It is the dragon of death. That dragon takes our lives and separates us from our loved ones before we too go the way of all flesh. But if you want life, then come to Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not just the source of all life, but the means of resurrection to eternal life. And wonderfully, he promises eternal life to all who come to him. To those who belong to Jesus, death has no more sting. Because with Jesus, mortal death turns out to be the beginning of an immortal life in a remade, perfected world where there is no more sickness or pain or death or disease, where there are no more heartaches and no more goodbyes. A world where all the things that drain life of its joy and peace and love are gone forever. If you want life, eternal life, then come to Jesus. Maybe that all sounds too good to be true. After all, we've just had an election where all of the parties made outrageously extravagant promises. Most of us saw through them. Should we see through these promises too? Well, here's the difference between human beings and Almighty God. God always keeps his promises. The child lying in the manger is the perfect example of that. Our service began with one of those promises from the Old Testament concerning Jesus. And there are many, many more. And yet Jesus fulfilled them all. From the place of his birth to the miracles he would perform to the manner of his death and his physical resurrection, all God's promises came true in Jesus. And the promises he makes to us are no different. So if you're looking for perfect peace, for lasting joy, enduring love and everlasting life, then come to him. The question then is this: how can these things be ours? They're ours when we have Jesus. You see, perfect peace, lasting joy, enduring love, everlasting life are found in Jesus by those who receive him. They're not things we can grab on their own. We receive them when we receive him. They flow to us from Jesus when we come to him and he comes to us. We can't have Jesus' gifts unless we first have him. So how do we have him? How do we receive Jesus? Three letters, A-S-K, we ask. That's where it starts. Like Mary and Joseph knocking on the doors, trying to find somewhere to rest. So Jesus comes and knocks on the doors of our hearts. But we have to invite him in. But he will come in if you have him. There's no bill to pay, no exam to pass, no moral level to reach before he's interested in you. If you want Jesus and all he has for you, you simply need to ask. You say something like this: Lord Jesus, I want you. You said you came to bring lasting peace and joy and life and love. And I need those things. I am empty and messed up. Come into my life. From now on, be my Savior. Be my Lord. If you ask him, he will come. But if you ask him, you better be ready to change. Because if the A stands for ask, then the S stands for say. And if Jesus is to come in, we need to say two things. We need to say sorry and thank you. We need to say sorry. Because God's verdict on us isn't pretty. If God made a list of all the things that in us that were naughty or nice to decide how he would treat us and repaid us each year at Christmas, we'd be lucky to get the scraps off the table. And according to the Bible, according to Jesus, our sin, our failure to live as we should in God's world isn't just a minor issue, but something akin to treason to our King. Something the left unforgiven will lead us to hell. Inviting Jesus in means we accept his verdict in us and we're desperate to change. It means we say sorry for the way we've treated God, for the way we've treated people, the way we've treated God's world. We say sorry. We also say thank you. Thank you because the child in the manger grew up to be the man on the cross. And it's there that the vast debt we owe to God was paid in full by Jesus. No amount of good works can undo the evil we have done or the good we have not done. So we need a Saviour, someone who can pay the price of our sin, someone who can wash us clean and give us a new heart. And we have that in Jesus. The Saviour whose very name means God saves. We ask Jesus in. We say sorry to God for how we've lived. We say thank you for sending Jesus. And then we kneel. We kneel. We acknowledge that he is our Lord. That he is now in charge. And with his Holy Spirit's help, we daily seek to live life by obeying his commands. Is following Jesus hard? Often, yes. That's why we need to pray and read the Bible each day. That's why it's vital to meet together with his people. We call that church. Is following Jesus hard? Yes, often. Is it worth it? Absolutely. God's Christmas gift to you and me is Jesus. To turn your back on him is to reject all you've ever longed for. So ask him in. He's waiting to come. Say sorry and say thank you because Jesus is the Saviour you need. And like the shepherds and the wise men and millions of people since, kneel before him as your Lord and your God. That's how you receive the gift God has given you. Because it's only in Jesus, that you find the peace and the joy, the love and the life you have been desiring your whole life through. May God bless you and your families this year. Amen.